Testing, testing. Okay, cool. How y'all doing? Hey, hey, come on now. How y'all doing? Hey. Giving honor to God, pastor, ministers in the pulpit and out here in the congregation, members, saints, and friends. I say good evening to you all. I shall not be before you long unless I always be about those preachers I talk about being out of order. So let's get right to it. Okay, so my word is, well, the word that I've been given is Luke 23, verse 43. But I need to rewind that a little bit. So we're going to start at Luke 23:35. We're going to start at verse 35. Again, Luke 23, starting at verse 35. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation again. That is the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, starting with verse 35. And verse 35 says, "The crowd watched and the leader scoffed. He saved the others. They said, 'Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers mocked him too. By offering him a drink of sour wine, they called out to him, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' A sign was fastened above him with these words, 'This is the king of the Jews.'" Verse 39 says, "One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, 'So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it.'" Verse 40 says, "But the other criminal protested, 'Don't you hear, God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus replied, 'I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So if you must have something to hold on to, give you this little nugget, and it's called the big picture. The big picture. All right. Now, at this point, Jesus has already been placed on the cross at Calvary along with two thieves. I find it quite interesting that even on his deathbed, Jesus is surrounded by both good and evil. Amen. Let me explain. From what the writer Luke says about the thieves, we can definitely determine the character of these guys. So that's where we're going to start, okay? Verse 39 is where we learn about the first thief. He's hung right beside Jesus, and I'm pretty sure he's feeling all the physical pain that Jesus is feeling at this point. And he says to him, "Hey, bruh, aren't you the Messiah? I'm going to need you to put your money where your mouth is and get yourself out of here. Shoot, give me two." Just from that statement, we can take away a few things. Amen. Point A, he has limited knowledge of who Jesus is. Yes. Hey. He clearly doesn't know him, otherwise he wouldn't have came to him the way that he came to him. Part B, he's only concerned with himself. Yep. He couldn't care less whether or not Jesus actually got him down. The fact of the matter is whether or not he came down too.
Right.
C, there is no accountability on his part. None whatsoever. He hasn't taken any responsibility for what even got him to Calvary in the first place. So, therefore, this dude's a Bama. Moving on. Now, after the first criminal has just cut his nose to spite his face, so to speak, the second criminal offers an interesting retort. He says, "Hey, bruh, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." He's like, "Hey, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus looks at him and replies, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. And just like that, the second thief has gained the ultimate prize, the kingdom of heaven. Come on. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, and this is for folks my age, a little bit, houseway. Well, let's look at what the second thief said. Let's go back to what he said. Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, let's break apart what he just said. Let's break apart the meaning of what he just said. So, he's accountable for his actions. As you see, he said, we deserve to die. Meaning that he knows what he's done, and he understands that there is consequences to his actions. B, he has a sense of what justice is. Because he managed to look at Jesus and was like, you know, we was wilding out here in these streets. But last time I checked, you didn't do anything. So why are you here? And see, most importantly, he knew who God was. Look at the very first thing he responded to the thief with. He said, don't you fear God even when you are sentenced to die? Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like that brother has been somewhere around the spirit. So even on the cross, humiliated while experiencing the most intense pain, this particular thief still managed to look past himself, accept the consequences, look to Jesus, who was hanging beside him, mind you, and make his earnest plea. Though one thief wanted freedom for his body, the other thief gained freedom for his soul.
Hallelujah!
In the end, the second thief saw that his current problems couldn't measure up to the status of his soul.
Amen.
He was able to rise above all the distractions and see the bigger picture.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to leave you with this because I would like to think that I'm a musician. So everything correlates to a song at some point. No, I'm not going to sing. But the words are from Ricky Dillard's track called Higher. It says, my brother and my sister, you better jump on board. Mm-hmm. Where I am now is way too small for what the Lord has promised me.
Amen.
Where I am now can't hold me. My situation can't hold me. It's my time for elevation, and I'm on my way out of here because I have no other place to go but up.
Amen.
God bless.